When I was a kid, I joined some sort of fan club. Did anybody ever do this? I don't even know if they still have these things. There was this ad in the magazine or something for this club, and it explained how great it would be to join, right? There was all these benefits. You would get a sticker, right, and an ID card, and there would even be this quarterly newsletter. So I wanted to prove my loyalty to this, whatever it was, and also I wanted to be with like-minded people, right? So I filled out the form, and I half expected on this form there would be like a question to, you know, prove my fan loyalty or whatever, but all they wanted really was my name and address and membership fee. And I saved up my allowance, and I sent off this application with crossed fingers, hoping that I would be accepted into such an exclusive club, right? So as a kid, I watched that mailbox every day, you know, and time went on and nothing came. And I even forgot about it. And then one day, very unceremoniously, my mother brought this rather large envelope to me that had been mangled and tattered and everything. And she said, you know, this is for you. And I knew right away what it was. And I opened it up, and the membership card was a little bent. And I had to take it out of the perforations on the larger sheet and fill out my own name in there, right? And the newsletter wasn't much, and the sticker was kind of bent. And nevertheless, I was a fan, so this like meant everything to me, right? So I put that membership card in my wallet and everything, and I it was the only thing, I think, in my billfold at that age. And I carried it around to show all my friends, you know, and they were like, I was thinking, this is a big deal. And they're like, you know, how much did you pay for this thing, Greg? You know, they saw right through the scam. But, you know, to me, that was what it didn't matter to me. I was this fan, right? I was sold out for whatever this was. And I don't even know if things like that exist anymore. They probably don't. There's probably not fan clubs anymore, because now you could just like something on Facebook, right? And follow it. But, you know, there was this sense of wanting to belong. We've kind of moved away from that, especially in the age of the internet, but we wanted to belong. You know, sociologists will say gangs are proof of that. Young people in difficult circumstances find strength and acceptance in a group. They find people who will stick by them in this common bond, so they maybe get a tattoo to identify themselves as a gang member. And they enjoy the benefits of belonging to that organization. In ancient times, society was a lot more group-oriented than we are now. There's families, clans, tribes, nations. And those things were your identity. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That whole identity thing and belonging. So open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 4. And before I preach God's word, I'll start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word this morning, I ask you, Lord, to soften our hearts, Lord, to show us what you have for us in your word, and to strengthen us to be followers in Jesus Christ, and to fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 1, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord will never count against him. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? Well, we have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe, but who have not been circumcised, in order that the righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. In Romans chapter 4, there's a structure, an argument of this chapter, and it kind of looks like this. Paul has just said that the way to righteousness or goodness in God's eyes is by faith. And Paul knows that the people are going to reject this idea because it's just too radical. So he anticipates their arguments and shows them from the Bible how it works out. He uses the example of one of the heroes of the faith, Abraham. So in verses 1 through 6, he first talks about Abraham is not justified by works. In verses 7 through 12, Paul shows that Abraham is not justified by his circumcision. And in verses 13 through 17, Paul shows that he's not justified by works of the law. And then he summarizes the chapter at the final verses at the end. Now, for us, not being in Jewish background, this gets a little confusing and our eyes start to glaze over. And we're like, oh, what are we talking about here? The Jewish people, see, believed that Abraham was a good guy in God's eyes because of three basic things. One, by what he did, his works. Two, by his circumcision or belonging to the Jewish community. And three, by following the law. They believed that Abraham was justified because of these three things. Now, as odd as that sounds, we kind of believe the same things, right? I know it doesn't seem like it, but we actually do. You hear it all the time, right? You hear this, he or she is a good person because, number one, by what he or she did, right? How many times have you heard that? She was such a nice lady, or you know, he would give you the shirt off his back, right? He might not have been a churchgoer, but he was a good man. See, we're justifying people by what they do. Or number two, well, he was a member of the church, an upstanding member of the church. He was baptized and confirmed, so she did so much for the church, right? So we're saying again, too, that, you know, she's justified by the sacraments or this church membership. Or number three, we think all this is right. You know, they don't take the name of the Lord in vain. They do everything exactly according to the Bible. They go to church on most Sundays. They're honest, right? So we're kind of justifying them with respect to the law. But Paul, here in Romans 4, takes apart those arguments one at a time. One at a time. Last week we looked at number one, the fact that Abraham's works were credited to him. He believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Today we're going to look at this number two, circumcision. So starting at verse 6 in Romans 4, Chapter 4, verse 6, David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. So Paul mentions King David. He's this other important character in Judaism. He's the king that God promised. He's the man after God's own heart. He ruled with righteousness. So if Paul is going to convince the Jews of this righteousness by faith, he better have David on board as well. So he quotes from King David in regard to something like called blessings. Now, another thing we need to understand is in the mind of the Jew, being part of God's community means that you receive those benefits thereunto, right? That's set on the bottom of my membership card. You receive all the benefits. And they use this word blessed. Both in the ancient mind and in our minds, we think of blessings in the temporal sense. We're in fear over these things that we can't control, like weather or the economy or health. So we think that being right with God will result in good things or blessings from God. God has blessed us with good weather, or God has blessed us with a good job, we say. We are blessed. But being blessed really means much more than that. It's much bigger. If we think of blessings in those terms, we're just being short-sighted. See, why settle for things that, to use Jesus' words, moths and rust will be destroyed? Why settle for things that will be gone anyways? Why not look for better blessings? Why not set our minds to things above? Permanent blessings, privileges that last for not just this life, but for an eternity. The benefits of being with a father in his household. The benefits of being with him for eternity. Because see, the word blessed here in the Greek has this much broader sense. It has the sense of a relationship with God. This definition from the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament said, this word for blessed denotes transcendent happiness of a life beyond care, beyond labor, and beyond death. Whenever it is used, it overwhelmingly refers to the distinctive religious joy which accrues to man from his share in the salvation of the kingdom of God. See, it's about that joy that comes when you're part of the covenant community. And with it comes the rights and privileges of this relationship with God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you might ask, what are those benefits? Well, look at verse 7 where Paul says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That's Psalm 31. It was written by King David. We started the service with it this morning. You're blessed by having your sins forgiven. You're blessed by having your mistakes covered over. You're blessed not by a good job or with money, but because your unrighteousness is covered with Christ's righteousness. And then verse 8, Paul writes, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Being blessed is not having your sins counted against you. Even when the grapes die on the vine, even when the crops wither, being blessed means that your sins are not counted against you. The Old Testament covers this whole idea of blessings and curses. You are either favored by God and blessed or not favored by God and cursed. God's people were blessed. Abraham was called out distinctly from the rest of the nation, the rest of the world, in fact, to be blessed by God. Him and his ancestors. In Genesis 15, God came to Abraham and promised him he would be a great nation. Him and his offspring. God promised he would bless it. So in today's reading from Genesis, 14 years later, God comes to Abraham again and renews this agreement with him. Renews this promise to bless him. God says that he will make Abraham the father of many nations. That kings will come from him. God says he will establish his covenant with Abraham for generations to come. And then God does something really odd. Genesis 17, 10 through 11. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between you and me. Well, that's odd. We don't understand that today, but God wanted to distinguish that these people were different from the rest of the world. So Abraham and God's people, the blessed people, will be circumcised. Then as long as they live in their flesh, all the world would know that they're part of this covenant, that they're somehow different, that they're set apart. Everywhere they go for the rest of their lives, this mark will remain on you. So at 8 days old, the male child is marked that he is part of this Jewish community, part of this group that is in with God, this permanent mark in the flesh. There's no mistaking that they're part of the blessed community. You're set apart from all nations. You are called out. These days, circumcision isn't necessarily thought of as having religious significance outside of the community, of the Jewish community. Religious and non-religious people both participate. Most of the time, it's even done by a doctor shortly after birth in the hospital. Sometimes the parents aren't even present. It's done by just a doctor and a nurse. But for the Jews, this is much different. In Hebrew, it's called the Brit Milah, or in Yiddish, you know it as the Bris. It's performed precisely on the eighth day. Even on the Shabbat or on the high holidays, they're going to do the Bris. On the eighth day. Sometimes done in home or in the synagogue. And they get this person, this moel, to perform the bris. The moel is this rabbi specially trained to perform the ceremony. It's very solemn. And it's very meaningful. They read from scripture. There's prayers. They're singing. They invite the whole family, close friends, and then everyone shares a meal. And it's not just a meal either. It's actually part of the bris. And if you attended our Seder meal, you remember that at different points in the meal, the leader pronounces blessings. So they do this in the bris as well. There's six blessings that are pronounced at the meal of the bris. There's one for the child. There's one for the moel. There's one for his brother. There's actually one to send the Messiah speedily. And then the last one is to send Elijah so that God's covenant will be fully reestablished with the throne of David. Interesting. All that's just pointing right to Jesus. So the sign of the circumcision marked you as part of this covenant community. Maybe you can start to see where Paul is going with all this. In order to be blessed this way, do you have to have this ritual? Is it only for those that have this mark in their flesh? Romans 4:9 says, is this blessedness only for the circumcised, or is it also for the uncircumcised? We've been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Paul says that his faith was credited to him. In Romans 4:10, under what circumstances was accredited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. Just like we learned last week, Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness in Genesis 15:16. But at that time, Abraham is not circumcised. He's not circumcised until later, two chapters later in Genesis 17, 14 years after his faith was credited to him as righteousness. It's his faith that's credited to him as righteousness, not the circumcision. Romans 4:11, and he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised in order that righteousness might be credited to him. So he received circumcision not as a way to be part of the blessed community, but because he was already part of the blessed community. So then whether you're part of the community or not is not determined by the sign or the seal, but whether you're part of the community is determined by whether or not you have faith. Romans 4:12, and he is then also the father of the circumcised who are not only are circumcised, but who are also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Now again, all this circumcision talk can seem like it doesn't apply to us. It seems distant, but is it really? Remember my opening story? My membership card didn't make me a fan. I was a fan long before the fan club. I was a fan. Then, because I was a fan, I saved up my allowance as a demonstration that I was a supporter. And then I received the sign or the proof that I was a fan. Anyone can join the club. All you have to do is sign up. Having the card doesn't make you the fan. For us today, it could be church membership or sacraments. Someone could be a member of the church or receive the sacraments and not have the faith necessary to be righteous in God's sight. Being a church member doesn't make you blessed. Believing in the work of Jesus at the cross, that is what makes us blessed. The blessings at that bris, even today, still point to Jesus. The Jewish community doesn't believe that he is Messiah because they are trusting instead in their circumcision for their righteousness. They are missing the true blessing available through Jesus Christ. To be blessed means to be part of God's covenant community, to have your sins covered over by the righteousness of Christ, to have your transgressions never counted against you, to be blessed like that, which is an everlasting blessing and a transcendent joy in the salvation of our God, is only available through Jesus. And you receive that blessing by faith. It's already been offered to you. It's already out there in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He took your sins upon himself when he died on the cross. And he removed them from you and rose from the dead 3 days later to free you to everlasting life, to take your sin from on him so that you can be blessed. Perhaps you're already walking in that blessing. Perhaps walking in that blessing for so long, your mind can get weighed down by the temporal needs in front of you. And that happens. We want to be blessed physically in the here and now and long for the righteousness and justice now. We'll pray. Seek the Lord Jesus. Ask Him to help you focus, not on this earth, but on things above. Ask Him to help you focus on the kingdom of God. Because blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of God. Matthew 5:3. In Jesus' name, amen.